Welcome to WeSchool's Distance Learning Program on Marketing Management. Today we will discuss the first chapter on the nature of marketing. Let us try and understand what marketing is all about and how it affects us in our day-to-day life. Let us view the learning objectives for this session. This session will try and create some understanding and awareness about what is the term marketing. It will describe and define the term marketing. It will take you through the different philosophies of marketing. We will try and understand the differences between sales and marketing. We will also try and understand what is macro and micro marketing. We will understand the marketing process, and we will try to get into why we study marketing as a topic and as a subject. Before we get into marketing, let us understand how the economy evolved and therefore where did commerce begin. If we typically divide the stages through which the economy has developed, we can get in the stage one, when mankind came in and was living in what we call the hunting era. In the hunting stage, mankind hunted animals for his day-to-day survival. At that point in time, no formal exchange process had come in, or no informal exchange process had also come in, and there was no economy and commerce in that sense of the term. At the second stage, man started getting domesticated to some extent, and man also realized that he has certain things and another person has certain other things, and the things that he had in excess he could exchange for something else that he did not have, and therefore came into existence what we call the barter stage. As the barter improved, or as exchanges due to barter improved, man became more domesticated and went into living a domesticated life and setting up small communities called the villages. And we had the era or the birth of the village economy stage. At the village economy stage also, mankind was exchanging with one village and another things that they had in excess with things that they did not possess from someone else. Barter was still the main method of commerce. At the stage 4, we came to the town economy stage. Large groups of villages came together and formed larger towns. And it was felt at this point in time that barter is proving to be inconvenient because the number of exchanges in the economy went on increasing. And therefore, at the town economy stage, some form of money or some form of standards like gold or silver became the medium of exchange. Now, from the fourth stage onward, commerce and economy grew. We had at the stage 5, the national economy stage, at stage 6, the global economy stage, at stage 7, we had the internet economy, and now at stage 8, we are in the mobile economy. In the internet economy, exchanges started happening on the internet. In the mobile economy, all exchanges and transactions have started happening on the mobile. This is the way in which future commerce will happen, and this is the way marketing and sales will also go in future. Continuing the introduction, Asian markets, or long time back, markets were local. Therefore, competition was very, very limited to what the locals could supply. The concept of distribution and the concept of supply chain management and logistics was not developed. In the 1700s, with the start of the Industrial Revolution, economies went production centric. Economies started manufacturing products with the aid of machines, and therefore large scale production started happening. As soon as large scale production started happening, the local market was not sufficient to absorb that production, and hence it became essential to move the goods from a producing center to other consuming centers where you could find more customers and consumers to buy those products. By 1900, markets had become very competitive. However, there was no differentiation between the products. as economies grew and as more and more companies started producing larger and larger volume of products, cost reduction became the basis of all competition. Those who were competitive, those who could offer products at lower prices, survived in the market. This pressure on cost and therefore on lower prices reduced the margins and made it difficult for professionals and marketing people to sell well in the economy. And therefore, at that point, the first marketing tool called differentiation was invented. At that time, the differentiation was not known as we understand it today. It was, how can I be different from the competitor so that I can appeal more to my customer and therefore sell a higher volume to him compared to the competitor. And this was the beginning of the marketing era. The first half of the 20th century saw companies getting into what we call the sales mode or the push era. In the sales mode or the push era, as production went on increasing, the thrust was on how to sell aggressively and get more and more market share. And that is why it's called the push era. Economies continued to expand and new products were launching rapidly. It was only in the second half of the century when markets really started getting very, very competitive that marketing professionals stopped and thought, how can we market and sell better to the customer? It was at this point in time when it was realized, do we know what the customer wants? Do we really understand what are his needs and requirements? Or are we just pushing products that we manufacture down the customer's throats? As soon as that thought process started coming in, many marketeers stepped back and thought, how can we understand and map customer requirements, customer needs? And if we understand the customer needs, can we develop products which will fit those needs and therefore help us sell better to the customer? This era, when the understanding of customer needs became important, became what we call the pull era, and it started the science and art of marketing. This science and art of marketing is still growing rapidly as newer and newer concepts and more understanding of how the customer buys and what makes the customer buy, as our understanding of this goes on increasing. So, marketing, what is it all about? Is it more than selling and advertising? Is it only selling? Is it only advertising? Is it making products available in the stores? Is it maintaining inventories? Actually, marketing is all of these activities and much more. Why do you need marketing? Very simple. Customers do not know about products and services on their own. They have to be made aware that certain these kind of products and services are available in the market. Two, marketing ensures that the right products and services are produced in the first place. Typically, marketing creates four forms of utility, what we call the form utility, task utility, time utility, and place utility. Form utility is nothing but when a tangible product of value is created for the customer. Task utility is when an organization or an individual performs a deed or a task in the form of a service. Time utility is nothing but making the product available at the time when the customer wants it. And the place utility is making the product available at a location convenient to the customer. Marketing ensures that these four utilities are created for the benefit of the customer. Let us look at some of the definitions of marketing. We will have about four or five different definitions of marketing. The first definition of marketing comes from the American Marketing Association. This defines marketing as the process of planning and executing the conception, pricing, promotion, and distribution of ideas, goods, services to create exchanges that satisfy individual and organizational goals. This is the definition by the American Marketing Association. The societal definition of marketing defines marketing as a societal process, a social process by which individuals and groups obtain what they need and want through creating, offering, and freely exchanging products and services of value with others. Let us look at the Chartered Institute of Marketing's definition of the term marketing. The Chartered Institute of Marketing defines marketing as a management process which is responsible for identifying, anticipating, and satisfying customer requirements profitably. Philip Kotler, the guru of marketing, his understanding of the term marketing is captured in his definition that marketing is an organizational function and a set of processes for creating, communicating, and delivering value to customers and for managing customer relationships in ways that benefit the organization and all its stakeholders. This is what Philip Kotler had to say about marketing. Another definition of marketing defines marketing management as the art and science of choosing target markets, getting, keeping, and growing customers through creating, delivering, and communicating superior customer value compared to the competition. This is the another view or another definition of marketing. Marketing is also defined as the process of planning and executing the concept of pricing, promotion, and distribution of ideas, goods, services to create exchanges that satisfy individual and organizational goals. Having understood the different definitions of marketing, critical to marketing and the basis of marketing starts with an exchange. Critical to marketing is an exchange of something that you have for something that you want to have. People give up something in order to receive something that they would rather have, and the usual medium used in modern times is money. Let us understand the conditions necessary for exchange. There are five conditions necessary for exchange to take place. The first condition, there must be at least two parties, A and B. Both of them have something of value which they want to exchange with each other. The party A, which wants to give something to B, must have the ability to communicate this offer to B. B must have the freedom to accept or reject the offer. And finally, both A and B must have a desire to deal with each other. If these five conditions are satisfied, it creates a condition suitable for an exchange to happen. And the moment an exchange happens, marketing starts. Let us look at a simple marketing system. A very simple marketing system has the industry, which is nothing but a collection of sellers on one side, and a market, which is a collection of buyers on the other side. The industry produces goods and services and transports and delivers them across to the market or to the customer. The customer or the consumer, in return, gives money back to the industry in the form of the prices that they pay for the goods and products. The industry also communicates with the market in terms of what products they have, what are the benefits and features of the product, the prices, why are they better than competition, etc. So there's a communication flow from the industry to the market, and there's a feedback loop from the market back to the industry in terms of the information that the customer provides, whether he's satisfied with the product, not satisfied with the product, what are the pitfalls or the, you know, the shortcomings of the product, etc., which goes back as a feedback to the industry so that they can improve their product or services for future offering to the market. So this is a simple marketing system, a very simple marketing system, and this is how it communicates. There are four flows which happen in the marketing system. Two in the forward direction, which is goods and services and communication from the industry to the customers, and two reverse flows which happen in the form of money and information or feedback back to the industry. So four flows, two in the forward direction and two in the reverse direction. This is how what a simple marketing system consists of. Let us look at the scope of what we market. Of course, we market goods, any tangible good like soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, cleaners, disinfectants is what comes in the form of goods. We market services, services in the form of mobile services, telephone services, courier services, postal services. Those are marketed to customers. There are events. There are specific events which happen around us. For example, there's a jewelry show or a bridal show which can be marketed as an event to the target audience. We market experiences. For example, Ayurveda, the Kerala way, that is marketed as an experience of having Ayurveda the Kerala way. We market personalities. So Amitabh Bachchan Corporation Limited was set up to market Amitabh Bachchan as a personality. We market places. For example, Goa in the Rains, Malaysia, Truly Asia, which are marketed as places. We market organizations. For example, United Nations, UNICEF, World Health Organization, or CRY, Child Relief and You, market themselves as organization. Properties get marketed, real estate and properties. We market information. We also market ideas and concepts. So this is the entire scope of all the goods, services, ideas, products, etc. that we market to the customers. A brief understanding of what is the difference between sales and marketing. Sales is typically trying to get the customer to buy what the company produces. Marketing is the reverse process of actually trying to get the company to produce what the customer wants. So, diametrically opposite processes. Sales begins with the product and tries to tell the customer to buy what they have as a product. Marketing starts with the customer, understands the customer needs, and then creates a product which is suitable to satisfy that customer need. If you look at sales versus marketing orientations in terms of the various perspectives, the organization's focus in a sales oriented organization is inward. Why is it inward? Because it starts with the product, and the product is something internal to the company. The marketing looks at the orientation of marketing, or the focus of the organization in a marketing oriented organization, is outwards, because it starts with the customer, and the customer is an entity outside the organization. When we look at the firm's business in the sales approach, it is selling goods and services. The firm's business, when you look at the marketing approach, is satisfying customer needs and wants. Sales is for whom? It's for all the customers. Marketing is for specific groups of customers, which are called target audience or target customers. What is the primary goal in terms of sales? It is maximum sales volume. In terms of marketing, it is customer satisfaction. And how do you achieve these goals? Sales focuses mainly on promotions, and marketing focuses on coordinated marketing strategy, which is typically the four P's: product, price, place, and promotion, which is called an integrated marketing mix. And that's how the different goals are achieved in the sales and marketing. So these are broadly the differences between selling and marketing. Let us look at the core concepts of marketing. The core concepts of marketing begin from the customer. Every customer has need, want, demand. These need, wants, and demands get converted into products. Products have utility, value and satisfaction. Because they have utility, value and satisfaction, they create a condition necessary for exchange. They result in exchange. Exchange results in a transaction. A single transaction is just a one-off transaction. A series of transactions creates a relationship. This exchange, transaction and relationship creates marketing and marketeers, which finally sell goods and services to market. So this is the core concepts of marketing, and we will try and understand some of these things in detail. What is a need? From a marketing perspective, need is defined as anything that the customer requires. The need can be logical, illogical, basic, luxury, expensive, cheap, rational, irrational, required, not required, relevant or irrelevant. Doesn't matter. The moment the customer feels or he is in a state of deprivation, the moment a customer feels or thinks he requires something, a need is created. So for example, if a person feels hungry, the need that he has is for food. Want, from a marketing perspective, is defined as several alternatives to satisfy the same underlying need. Now, want translates into options. A person feeling hungry requires food, but his options may be a pizza or a burger or a sandwich or an idli or a dosa, etc. Now, typically, wants are options which satisfy the same underlying need. That is why we say needs are few, wants are many. That want which the customer is willing to put disposable money and resources on is called demand. It is the translation of the want as per the willingness and ability to pay. So if the customer opts for, say, a pizza or a burger, then it translates into demand for a burger or a pizza. Demand is very critical in marketing because it is demand which finally converts into revenue, turnover, profitability, return on investment and return on capital employed. And hence, from a marketing perspective, we want to see and find out which need and want will finally convert into the demand or the requirement on which the customer is willing to put money on. Let us look at the four philosophies of marketing. The production orientation to marketing, the sales orientation to marketing, the marketing orientation to marketing, and the societal orientation to marketing. In the production orientation to marketing, the focus was on efficiency of internal operations. In sales, it was on aggressive selling, pushing the product into the market as aggressively as possible. In marketing, the focus was on customer needs and wants. And on the societal orientation, it was on enhancing or creating products and services which were satisfying the needs of the individual as well as the society simultaneously. Let us look at these in a little more detail. The production orientation focuses on producing high volumes at the lowest cost rather than on the needs and wants of the customer and of the marketplace. It was a process which resulted in economies of scale and allowed companies to manufacture large volumes of products at lower and lower costs. It is a strategy which works best for companies producing generic products like the fast food industry or fast moving consumer products where the focus is always on lower prices. The sales orientation assumes that goods and services will be purchased if very aggressive selling techniques are employed, and they use high pitch and high end selling techniques to somehow thrust the product onto the customer. Best examples of this is insurance and the credit card product. The fundamental problem with this approach is that it does not focus on the underlying need of the customer, but more on the product. The market orientation is a stage higher than the sales orientation because it starts with the customer and focuses on his needs and requirements. It then integrates all the organization's activities based on the customer's needs and wants. It achieves long-term organization goals by satisfying customer needs and requirements and creates a desire in the customer to purchase the organization's products. So this is marketing orientation. And finally, we have the societal marketing orientation, which says that organizations do not exist only to satisfy customer wants and needs, but they also exist to simultaneously satisfy the society's long-term interests. And this orientation serves the organization, the society, and the customer. Today, we are in a stage where we want the societal marketing orientation to have, and therefore there is a thrust on developing eco-friendly products, products that do not create global warming, products that do not involve cruelty to animals. So this kind of approach to marketing has come in a very big way in today's times. Summarizing, what has been marketing's role over time? In the era of simple trade or barter, the logic was to sell the surplus. In the production, increase supply and reduce cost. In the sales orientation, beat competition and get maximum market share. In the marketing department, coordinate and control. And the marketing company, create customer satisfaction. So this is marketing's role over a longer period of time and how it has evolved over a period of time. Since marketing starts and ends with the customer, let us look at who is a customer. So defining a customer is somebody or anybody who is in the market looking at a product or service for attention acquisition, use or consumption that satisfies a want or a need is called a customer. From a marketing perspective, we define two levels of a customer. Typically, it is the customer and the consumer. The customer is someone who buys the product from you. The consumer is someone who actually uses the product, also called the customer's customer. So, for example, in a family, if the head of the family or the housewife goes to purchase products on behalf of the family, the housewife or the head of the family is called the customer, while the other members of the family on whose behalf the product has been bought are called the consumers of the product. Why we try to understand the customer and the consumer both? Because both the customer and the consumer have an influence on what products and brands are finally purchased. And therefore, we try to understand both from the context of marketing. All customers or consumers have need, want, demand and desire. We have already discussed what is a need, what is a want and what is a demand, but we have not discussed desire. Desire is something which is aspirational for the customer. The customer is currently not able to buy or not able to afford a certain product or category that he desires and may therefore buy this in future. For example, all of us desire to have a Mercedes, but most of us are not able to buy it because of financial constraints or our income is not sufficient or we have other priorities which prevent us from buying this product. It is possible that sometime in future when these priorities are overcome or satisfied, we may go into the purchase of a Mercedes, therefore fulfilling our desire. From a marketing point of view, understanding the customer's desire is also very important to know what product or services is the customer going to opt for in the future. And therefore, it is an approach to understanding the future product strategy of the organization. Now, all customers who have needs, wants, demands, and desires have to be understood and mapped. Understanding these needs and mapping these desires is the starting point of marketing. However, all needs, wants, demands arise within a framework or what we call an ecosystem. For example, a samosa or an idli or a dosa occurs within the ecosystem of the Indian context. If you tell a samosa or an idli or a dosa to a Japanese, he doesn't understand that. Why? Because these terms or these food items are not there in his ecosystem. Similarly, if someone were to come and offer you sushi or offer you a teriyaki or offer you a teppanyaki food, it doesn't occur to an Indian. It doesn't make sense to an Indian because this is Japanese cuisine and this does not occur within the Indian ecosystem. From a marketing point of view, understanding both the needs and the wants along with the ecosystem is the starting point of a long-term relationship. And hence, both these are important from an understanding perspective. Related to the customer, let us understand the term customer value, or what is also called, popularly called, the value proposition. You offer to the customer products which have a certain value. Value is defined as the sum total of the benefits that the customer gets divided by the sum total of the cost that the customer is willing to pay for a product. Benefits has two components. One is the functional benefit, the second is the emotional benefit. Every product per se gives you a functional benefit. So if you buy a car, the functional benefit of the car is to take you from point A to point B. And it doesn't matter which brand or which type of car you buy, the functional benefit is the same, taking you from point A to point B. However, the emotional benefit that the car or a different type of car may give you will vary from car to car. And that is why you are willing to pay a different price. From a marketing point of view, higher the emotional benefit that you are willing to put into the product, higher is the premium the customer is willing to pay you, functional benefit remaining the same. In typical consumer marketing, the emotional benefit to the customer comes in the form of a brand. So for example, if you buy a shirt, the functional benefit of the shirt is to make you look decent, to protect you from the environment like sun, wind, rain, heat, cold, etc. However, if you buy an Arrow or if you buy a Van Hoosen or if you buy any other brand of shirt, the emotional benefit that you get out of the shirt is completely different. And therefore, you're willing to pay a premium to wear an Arrow or to wear a Van Hoosen or to wear an Allen Solly. That's an example of what you mean by emotional benefit linked to the brand. The second part of the value equation is the cost. The sum total of the costs that the customer is willing to pay for a product is part of the value. A cost has four components. As customers, we typically understand what is called the monetary cost, the physical money that we pay for the product. There are three additional components of cost that the customer typically incurs when he is purchasing a product. The first one is time cost. The time cost is nothing but the time that the customer is willing to spend to buy a product or a service. The next component is the energy cost. The energy cost is nothing but the energy and the effort that the customer is willing to spend in order to buy a product. Time and energy cost are interrelated. Higher the time cost, higher the energy, or higher the energy cost, higher the time, and therefore they are positively correlated. There is a fourth component of cost that the customer incurs, which is called the psychic cost or the mental cost. This is the cost that the customer incurs in trying to understand the product, what are the features of the product, what benefits the product can possibly offer the customer, in trying to do a feature comparison between different competitor products, in doing a reference check with either his friends or his peer group or, you know, amongst a set of colleagues and acquaintances to find out which product is good, which product has better service or which product has better value in the market. All these elements, or going to the internet and researching about the product, all the effort that the customer is willing to put in to research about the product is called the psychic cost. that organization which is able to offer the highest value, which means more benefit at the lowest cost, gets the customer to buy from them. And creating superior customer value is a core business strategy of many successful firms. Having said this about value, where does value come from? Value comes from products that perform well every time and all the time. The second area where value comes from is to give customers more than what they expect, what is called the desire zone of the customer. If you are able to get in the desire zone of the customer, you create customer delight. You create value by avoiding unrealistic or very high pricing, by giving the buyer honest and transparent facts about the product, and offer organization-wide commitment in servicing and after-sales support. So you create value in the customers through these methods. The marketing concept and customer value take the customer's point of view end to end. Customer may not dwell too much on the value. Where does the competition come in? And how does the customer look at value? There is one more thing about customer value that needs to be understood. From a marketing point of view, it is very difficult to understand what value your product or service is delivering to the customer. Let's take an example. You take the example of a group of college friends going to cafe coffee days and sitting there for coffee. You take the another example of, say, a salesperson who has gone and met, say, 4 or 5 customers in the morning part, and who by, say, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock also gets the same cafe coffee day for a cup of coffee. Now, what is the value of the cup of coffee to the tired sales guy, and what is the value of the cup of coffee to this group of college friends for sitting in cafe coffee day and enjoying that coffee? Obviously, the value differs, but for cafe coffee day, their understanding of value or what it represents to the end customer cannot be understood, and therefore they cannot price the product differently in the market. That is why marketers sell the product at the same price, even though the value of that product to the customer may be different. To the tired salesman, the value of the cup of coffee is a release from the tiredness of the day, whereas for the college group of college friends, the value of the cup of coffee, it's just to hang out and chill out in the college, in the cafe coffee day. So values vary from customer to customer, but the marketeer's inability to understand it prevents the marketeer from pricing the products differently. So putting it all together, the marketing concept starts with the customer, creates products and services which satisfy customer needs and want, creating customer satisfaction. The company's effort is directed in creating a product which satisfies customer needs and wants, and using the 4 P's of marketing in an integrated manner to create profits for the organization. So this is typically the entire marketing concept summarized. A little thought on relationship marketing. When you sell to the customer for the first time, you create what is called transactional marketing. When a series of transactions with the same customer happen, you create a relationship. And establishing an ongoing relationship with the customer is important for repeat purchase and important for what we call increasing the customer lifetime value to the organization. Relationship marketing depends on how customer-oriented the organization is. Effective training programs for the employees of the organization to make them customer friendly and oriented. Selecting the right employees who empathize with the customer and understand the customer. And good and a lot of teamwork. So these are the factors on which relationship marketing depends and creates further success for the organization in the market. So putting it all together, we start with customer acquisition, or let's start with total company effort to satisfy the customer, creating superior customer value. If you have created superior customer value and you're able to communicate this value to the market, you are able to acquire customers. These customers, once acquired, become satisfied customers. You can create such higher customer satisfaction because of the superior customer value that you've created. This results in customer retention. Customer retention results in a series of transactions or repeat purchase or repeat business from the same customer, creating a profitable long-term relationship with the customer. So this is how the whole value chain, marketing value chain works. A brief understanding of what is micro-marketing and macro-marketing. Micro-marketing is nothing but a set of activities that typically are done to satisfy the organization's objectives by understanding customer needs and creating products and services which satisfy those needs. It is a set of day-to-day activities typically performed by all organizations. This is micro-marketing. What is macro-marketing? Macro-marketing is nothing but a societal process that directs goods and services in an economy from producers to consumers in a way that accomplishes the objectives of the society, economy, the customer and the organization by matching the demand and supply. The emphasis in macro-marketing is on how the entire marketing system works. And there are elements of the marketing system. It could be the organization, it could be the suppliers and vendors to the organization, it could be the logistics and supply chain management, it could be the dealer and distributor network. On the whole, how the whole process works, how is it efficiently managed to finally deliver customer value. So it's marketing. So after understanding micro and macro marketing, let us look at the entire marketing process. The marketing process begins with the organization's mission, vision, what they want to achieve as an organization. From the mission and vision flow the marketing objectives of the organization. From the marketing objectives, we try and gather and analyze and interpret information about the markets, about the customers, about their needs and wants, and develop a marketing strategy which consists of designing the product, pricing the product, promoting the product, and distributing the product, creating the four types of utilities: the form utility, the task utility, the time utility, and the place utility for the customer. We implement the market strategy and we design performance metrics which can measure how effective and successful the marketing strategy has been. Finally, we periodically re-evaluate the marketing effort and fine-tune the strategy whenever it is necessary to keep it aligned or keep it abreast of the market requirements. Who performs the marketing activities? Starting with the customers, consumers, marketing specialists, advertising agencies, dealers, distributors, internet and telecom service providers, logistics and supply chain companies, all put together, perform different elements and different aspects of marketing activities. Why is it important to study marketing? Marketing has a very important role to play in society. Marketing can increase production by increasing the sales volume, by reaching out to larger number of customers, and therefore reducing the cost of production in the economy. It is important to businesses for their revenue, turnover, return on investment, offers excellent career opportunities, affects your life every day, and is important because of the increasing importance of the global marketplace and global competition. So summarizing very quickly, marketing is the process of planning, executing the concept of pricing, promotion, distribution of ideas, goods and services to create exchanges that satisfy individual and organizational goals. Typically, there are four orientations to marketing. We have the production orientation, the sales orientation, the marketing orientation, and the societal marketing orientation to marketing. Customer is a person who is in the market either to buy or consume a product that satisfies a need or want, and customer value is the ratio of the sum total of benefits that the customer gets to the sum total of the cost that the customer pays to obtain these benefits. Relationship marketing provides a sense of well-being and stability when one establishes an ongoing relationship with the between the provider and the customer. Micro activities are a set of activities performed by organizations to achieve their organizational goals, whereas macro marketing focuses on how the entire marketing system works and how efficient is the entire marketing system. And finally, the study of marketing is essential because it affects our day-to-day life in a very big way. Thank you for bearing with me and your time and attention.